Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. Tonight's show is a twofer. I have two creatives for the price of one. I have both Naomis from the new film Bite Me. You may know Naomi Grossman from such films as Painkillers, R.I.P., or perhaps most recognizably, ironically, as the freak Pepper from American Horror Story. Naomi McDougall-Jones is a talented writer, actress, producer, director, vampire. She's pretty much everything. Both of these ladies are smart, confident, beautiful, funny women, and I had a blast talking to them. This episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives is brought to you by Newsly, the hot new news app that you can count on to give you the stories that are trending and hot at this very moment. And even better, it's right into your ear. You don't have to read. You don't have to scroll. You don't have to sprain your finger going to the next article, and you definitely don't have to get aggravated because you don't have a subscription to read the rest of the article. Newsly has made the internet not only searchable, but listenable, and they've made it simple. Head on over to newsly.me. You can use my code CCC2022 for a free month premium subscription. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host Puck, and enjoy the show. First of all, I have to comment on the artwork behind you. That's amazing. Is that like fan art?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Naomi's been over. It's quite a room.
And that's representative of your time on American Horror Story, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, no Chrissy art just yet.
Yes. Yes, we have to have some vampire yoga poses up there.
Yes.
Naomi, I don't know how I'm going to do that, but Naomi
yeah.
MJ.
Yeah.
This film, I have to tell you, it struck me in a good way, but it struck me in a way because the vampire culture or the phenomenon or whatever you want to call it kind of tends to lend itself either to cutesy, romantic, longing gazes across the room, or we don't love it all, we're just going to rip your throats out. And Bite Me kind of just nestled itself right in between those. Like, here's Sarah, a vampire. She could give, and I cuss, so I'm sorry if you guys don't. She could give two shits whether she has a man or a woman. She doesn't care. She is her own person and she loves it. Now, you wrote this film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where did your inspiration come from? Like, was it seeing this lack of, not true representation of vampirism, but where did that come from?
So this is a funny story. I was acting on the set of Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
One day and got to chatting with one of the extras, and it was a very long shoot day. And over the course of this 13 hours, this extra revealed to me that she was a vampire.
Oh, wow.
Meaning that she is part of the global subculture of people who identify as vampires. And they don't think they're supernatural, like in the film. They don't believe they're supernatural. They don't believe they're going to live forever. But they believe that they need to feed on blood and or energy to stay healthy. To sort of like be in peak form. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And then I started asking her questions, and then I went home and fell hard down the YouTube rabbit hole of this subculture, which is deep and very interesting. And I became totally fascinated, but also kind of inspired by these people who live this lifestyle, and often to the detriment of their social acceptance. Like, a lot of them get disconnected from their families. A lot of them, you know, really, as our characters do in the film, really get pushed to the edge of society as a result of this. But I found it kind of moving, like the depth of their conviction around this, and like Sarah and Chrissy in the movie, just the like, well, this is who we are, and you can fucking deal with it, you know, like, whatever. So I really wanted to write about them and people who do that, and what struck me too was the simultaneous ache. Like, there's that perspective of we don't care, and then, but there was obviously this pain also of, you're not really seeing me, you think I'm a joke, and I'm not a joke.
Right.
That these characters have. So that's where that came from.
I think probably you're right. Without researching it at all, people would think, oh, it's an attention seeking behavior, or you're freaking weird, or you worship the devil, or it, without doing any research about it. And it's kind of funny on the one hand, because blood itself has either a reputation of, as you said, being, you know, life sustaining or giving you what you need, or also dirty. It's dangerous, right? So they've kind of like put themselves, by following this belief, by living this culture, they've put themselves in a really tough situation for acceptance, honestly.
Totally. And I could relate to them. I mean, and that's another, you know, I think whenever I'm writing, I'm always looking to, like, how do we create empathy for people who are living experiences outside of what we may think of as being sort of mainstream? Right. And I mean, like, because I get it. You know? Yeah, like, I don't feel like I have that thing in me, but they do. And so many of them describe, you know, even being 4 or 5 years old and seeing like a friend get cut and seeing the blood and having this like longing to taste it. And like, I didn't have that. So who am I to say that, like, if that's your experience, like, who am I to say that you don't need that?
So it's, you could almost draw a parallel to like the early Christians in Rome, where they were, everybody else was looking at them like, you're insane. How could you believe in just like one person? Yeah. So, and, well, I mean, they got killed for it, but God forbid. So you write this vehicle where people can come to it being entertained, but then maybe coming away from it going, oh, like, you're right. Because like, I don't feel the need to like drink blood. It doesn't appeal to me, but I get it. So if you can have sort of an empathetic response, or at least an understanding response to it.
I think, you know, even across less extreme differences, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're at a time where, you know, we're so polarized. Different is to be suspected and to be disliked. And I think, you know, the heart of the movie is like, you know, this vampire falls in love with this IRS agent, and on the surface of it, their lives couldn't be more different. They couldn't be more different people. And on the inside, like, they're both just weirdos who want to be seen for and loved for who they are. Like, basically, that's everyone, you know?
And you're right, because in today's times, different is wrong. You can't have a difference of, not to get all like this, but you can't have a difference of opinion without one person has to be wrong and one person has to be right. And that's not how it is. You can both be kind of right. You can both be kind of wrong.
Well, and being open to other people's experiences, like to say
what does
exactly
hurt?
What we just said, like, I don't feel the need to drink blood, but you say you do. And like, I can respect and hold that for you without needing to tell you that you, like, that's your experience and I'm having my experience and that's great. Let's both have our experiences.
Right. Like, I can totally be supportive for you. I might not be able to control my face, like, but that's you. That's your thing. You know, if that's what you want to do, you're not hurting anybody. You're not like attacking someone on the street. Then, you know, okay, fine. You have your own source, whatever it is. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I feel like this movie is happening at the perfect time for it. Like, you know, it seems like nowadays, you know, there's heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, pansexual, sapiosexual. I can't even keep track of all the sexuals. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, blood, you know, sungersexual might be maybe a thing. I don't even know. I can't keep track. But, you know, I feel like this current generation is actually so much more accepting. Like, in general, you know, you're not allowed to make a face, like you'd said, you know. I asked a friend, like, I mean, how are we wearing our hats now? You know, because back in my day, you know, we pushed the brims like so, but then now I see him doing straight. And she's like, are you kidding? No, it's pandemic times. Nobody cares. And anything goes. Like, the fact that you're wearing pants means you're winning. So I really think, like, this is a time where we're just like, okay. Do you? Oh, you're not a woman now? You're a, well, okay. Like, you know, everything's fluid. From your, you know, political stance to your, you know, people who were Republicans before aren't now, or, you know, vice versa. And it's, you know, it's, there is nothing that we can take for granted. Not even like our gender or sexuality or whether we drink blood or not. Like, so I think this movie is I think we are living in a time right now that is way more, you know, accepting. If you wore your hat wrong in my high school, forget about it. You know, don't even come to school tomorrow. Right. So that's why I think this is like the perfect movie for this time, especially.
Well, right. I mean, I agree. It is the right time to put forth an idea of something different. You're right about the pandemic, because a lot of people have let a lot of shit go. And then a lot of people, crazy people, have focused on like the wrong things to hold on to or to believe in. And it's kind of like, okay, maybe if you were a little more tolerant about this other stuff and stop being so hyper-focused on this nonsense, we could maybe progress a little bit further.
Well, and it's funny because it's both things are true. Like you said, Naomi, like particularly the generation below us, like Gen Z, they're just like, whatever, like it's just do yourself. But then at the same time, we're experiencing this really intense polarization and this really intense time of like us, them, me, you know. And so like everything in the culture is sort of bumping up against this question of like, how do you deal with difference? How do you deal with people who are having experiences that are different than you? And until Gen Z is in charge, I'm afraid we're still going to be grappling, which boy, I hope I'm still alive for. But that we're still just going to be grappling with this age old thing of like, how can you develop, how can you hold empathy for across difference?
Right. Right. How can you? Because people have, there is not anybody that is perfect. There's not anybody that doesn't have something, some quirk, something weird, something strange, but there are a lot of people out there acting like it. Like my life is completely together. I'll never catch COVID because I work out. Okay. Everybody is messed up. Everybody has problems. Everybody is not perfect. So take a little, you know, take a little chill pill and figure out your empathy, figure out how to look at other people that are different than you. I mean, going back in history, different skin colors, we don't like them. Different accents, we don't like them. Different cultures, we don't like them. Different food, we don't like them. Why? We are in 2022, you know? 1990 feels like it was 5 years ago, but it's been decades. Let's get ourselves together. And if it's a film about a vampire who falls in love with an IRS agent, go for it. But let's be honest, the real scary thing in this film is the IRS auditor, first of all. I'm going to hear a knock on the door. But it's just so funny that you went there, because to get into the summary plot of it, you and Chrissy have a church, or, you know, it's just the three of you, right? Because you've broken away from the main group and you're running it out of your apartment, and the IRS is like, something's not adding up. So enter James, cute, somehow British.
He has dual citizenship.
Okay. And Chrissy rightly is like, no girl, don't be doing it. It's trouble. And at first you are too, right? Sarah is like, yeah, you're right. He's trouble. That little love bug.
Yeah.
And then James just brings this, like, it would not have worked if he was stodgy, obviously, but he's got this, I've been oppressed, or I've been sheltered my entire life, and I'm in this boring, you know, safe government job, and oh my God, a vampire, how exciting.
Yeah. Well, and the sort of flip side to what we were talking about a second ago of like, how do we perceive difference in others? I think the film is very much about identity generally, and also about how the identities that we hold can often end up trapping us. For instance, both James and Sarah are completely trapped at the beginning of the film by their identities. Sarah took on this vampire identity when she was 17. She got a face tattoo. She's had blue hair ever since. Like she's still living this identity that she really developed for herself when she was 17. And she's facing at the beginning of the film the terrifying sneaking realization that she may actually not be this strange. that like actually there's some like normal desires creeping in, and in many ways, as she falls in love with James, that's the thing that makes her run away the most, is like the terror of the realization that maybe she could just be happy falling in love with this kind of square dude. Like, as I say at the end of the film, like, he makes me want all of the things I thought I was better than, you know? Yeah. And sort of conversely, James is trapped by this identity, this proper identity that he's taken on of this IRS agent who does a good job and saves in his IRA and does all these things, when actually he's much stranger than he's allowing himself to be. And they find themselves in the middle of that. But I think identity is interesting in both directions to me. How do we trap each other, and how do we trap ourselves with these sort of labels?
I love that. I love that the title character, the protagonist, is supposed to just be weird and creepy and goth. And maybe on the side, she's like searching Pinterest on the web. And then you have Naomi's Chrissy, where she literally doesn't give, she doesn't care. She's like, this is the life I've embraced. I want to be as weird as I want to be. And Naomi G, you've come, as we were talking before about American Horror Story, you're no stranger to weird, obviously. Mm-hmm. So how did you get involved with the film?
Well, this is always, I love this story because it just flatters me to no end. Naomi MJ apparently had me in mind when she wrote the script. I know. We have a mutual friend, and I don't know. I feel like Naomi MJ should tell it, because I like to hear it.
No, we do. So Naomi and I both have this mutual friend, Natalia Fedner, who's increasingly like one of the fashion world's like biggest stars. She I don't think she was.
In fact, I wear her dress to the vampire ball.
That's right. Ooh. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Which was fabulous, by the way, that whole thing.
Yeah. She, Natalia's like on billboards all the time now. And I'm like, we went to acting school
together. Yeah.
Anyway, so we had this mutual friend. So because of American Horror Story, and also because of our friend Natalia, Naomi was just kind of in my head. And as I was writing this story and writing Chrissy, she just kept appearing as that character as I was writing her in a way that doesn't always happen. I'd never met Naomi. And so for many years, we were like doing workshops of the script, and other people would play that part, and it was never right. And people would be like, that part's not working. And I'm like, I know that part's not working, but it would if Naomi Grossman were playing it. Because Naomi is like this like kinetic, mm-hmm. like, I mean, we can all see this, like this, just this like, she's like a live wire of like joy and life and like whatever. That character needs, but doesn't exist in authentically in that many people. So anyway, so then we were trying to cast that part, and I stalked until she said yes.
Nice.
Yeah. But I am Chrissy, really. I mean, I'm not a vampire, but I am kind of unapologetically weird. Like, I don't know why I care about how people should be wearing their hats, because I mean, I'm my own person. Like, I'm kind of just genuinely me. And, my high school thought I was weird, and that's fine. I'm like, yeah, but I want to be the best weirdo, you know? So.
Yeah. And speaking of identity, I feel like Chrissy is kind of the only character in the film who's not in the middle of an identity crisis, who is just herself. That's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Naomi G, talking about hats, I think that you should get two matching hats, string them together, and wear them as a bra, and call it a fashion statement.
Wear hats on my boobs?
Yeah, absolutely. Make it a thing.
Okay. I've actually gotten the note from like many, many times that I needed to wear a bra.
Oh no.
So literally on stage, it was a problem at the Groundlings, because women that are sexual are not funny. And so, you know, who's going to laugh at you if they're looking at your nips? Which I always really resented. Like,
because it's bullshit.
So, but yeah, I mean, if they were hats, that would be hilarious, actually. I could get behind that.
I'm not saying you got to wear a shirt over them. I'm just saying, you know.
I could see that for you, Naomi.
Mm. They'd have to be very small hats. They'd have to be those like hilarious little, you know, like little
beanies.
Yeah, those exactly.
Propellers.
Yeah.
Somebody call Natalia.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's so funny. Just to go real quickly into that, isn't that just disgusting that women can't be funny if they're pretty? You have to be ugly to be funny. Well, I mean, I should be hilarious then, but it's ridiculous at this time. And not even at this point in time, let's go back 20 years, 30 years. It should not have been that. It should not have been that way. You should not be judged upon like your looks for your talent. You know, talk about identity crisis. We're out there doubting ourselves because someone told us that, you know, our nipples were showing. So we're talentless.
Well, and it's, women can only be one thing at a time, right? You can be gorgeous, but not smart. You can be gorgeous, but not funny. You can be smart, but not, you know, like,
right.
It's a way of diminishing.
Well, and here's the other thing. If you bring motherhood into the equation, you can't be sexy and be a mom, or you can't be funny and be a mom. It's like, what? I can't drop an F-bomb because I have a kid. If you're careful around them and your kid's not dropping the F-bomb in school, you're all right. Oh, and if they use it in context, you're right.
I think that's part of why I got so much attention for Pepper is that, you know, but she's so ugly, but you're on TV. Like, how is it that an actress is willing to be, you know, let herself go like that? It's like, well, yeah, because it's a character. Look around. Characters aren't always attractive. Like, what are we trying to do? Like, I'm not trying to be a desperate housewife. Like, if this were a beauty contest, well, I wouldn't even enter. Like, I'm not trying to do that.
Well, and why are we judging what beauty is anyway? And that's what I loved about Sarah in the film. She was not a classic beauty according to Hollywood standards, right? She, as you said, she has the face tattoo. She's got the hair. When I love the way, like, when you didn't like something or something was strange, you had this way of like wrinkling up your face, like something bad, if that makes sense. And it was just so cool. It was like, you got that. It was almost like this visceral reaction for you. Like, oh, I don't like that at all. No, but I love that she was quirky and she was strange and she was unsure and kind of like unsteady and like weirded out by things. It's like, oh, thank God. Someone else who doesn't have their life completely together. I can look up to this girl. I can be like her. I can't be a vampire, but I can be like her. And I think it's an amazing message to send, and not just to young women, to everybody.
Well, and one of the, like, tracing back what's the real seed of this movie in me is, I remember going to see The Princess Diaries when I was 13 in a movie theater, and being just, like, having this sort of traumatically devastated experience watching that movie, because I was a really strange kid. I had giant hair and buck teeth and glasses and...
You were Mia.
Right, but I didn't look like Anne Hathaway. And so I just remember watching that movie and, like, they like, tried to make her look weird, but she still looks like Anne Hathaway. I was like, oh my God, like, if she's weird, I'm not even on the charts. And then, of course, the moral of the movie is that once she gets a hairdo and takes her glasses off and everything, then the guy falls in love with her. And it was like horrifying to me that was the message. So I wanted to make a movie about a woman who is that and then doesn't have to change who she is to get love in the end.
Right. And that's exactly what, and no hate on The Princess Diaries, because I will watch it if it comes
out. No.
But you're right. You're right. So Pretty Woman, for one. I mean, if we're going to go way back, I am like almost completely blind without my contacts, because in high school, I got made fun of for wearing glasses. So of course I took them off and put them in my backpack and squinted. I have squint lines for the same reason, because vanity, or I didn't want to get picked on, or I didn't want to have my glasses slapped off my face because I was four eyes, right? So to have a character that's kind of strange looking, but also is confident and smart. And then you've got Chrissy, like we said, doesn't give a care. She's like, yeah, I drink blood, and I can also bend over and touch my, you know, my head to the back of my heels. So It's just, it's an amazing message. Is it available to see in theaters or is it just on demand?
So it's now available for pre-order on Apple and iTunes. And then as of February 8th, it'll be on iTunes, Google Play, Apple TV, and Amazon. And we did, in the summer of 2019, we actually did a Joyful Vampire tour of America with it.
Oh, God.
So we moved into an RV for 3 months and drove 13,001 miles around the country. And we did 51 screenings in 40 cities in 90 days. And it was kind of like a carnival. Like we invited the audience to come in costume. We were in costume. We had Joyful Vampire balls after every screening. It was really fun. So our theatrical experience happened then. However, on our website, you can still purchase a Joyful Vampire ball kit. So if you want to have your own Joyful Vampire ball screening experience, you can do that. We will send you the stuff.
That's amazing. So you could you could rent out your local little community center. You could, if you live in an apartment complex or even if you have a small little theater, you could get the kit.
Yeah. Or even if you just wanted to have some friends, some COVID safe friends over to your house, all things. We can send you a kit.
That's so cool. So it's available for pre-order now on Apple, mm-hmm. iTunes, you said?
Yep.
And then February 8th, available basically everywhere.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Naomi, MJ, what's up for you after this?
Well, we just booked a location to shoot my next feature film called Hammond Castle in March of 2023.
Nice.
So everything is, that train has to leave the station. So mm-hmm. we're getting our producing team together, casting that film, raising money, that sort of thing.
Alrighty. So this is your project. You wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Awesome. Yep. Naomi G, what's up for you?
Well, like Naomi MJ, I'm a self-starter too. I've been working throughout the pandemic on a new solo show. That's sort of my thing. And so I've got this, 1 hour comedy special that I'm kind of shopping around. It's called American Horror Story. chronicles pre-Pepper, post-Pepper, as Pepper. Very fan-friendly anthology series of autobiographical tales of self-compromise. So that's the little elevator pitch. Just like Naomi said, I don't know, that train has yet to leave the station. I'm not sure how and when and where, but that will happen. I did do a movie in the pandemic somehow called Replica. So I'm looking forward to that happening at some point this year, I would imagine. It's one of those things where as an actor, you don't really know. Your work is done. It's in the can. It's really up to them to crank it out. So I think as far as things that are upcoming for me, that's probably most imminent. But of course, I can only really worry about things I control, and that is American Horror Story. And even then, I can't control that. So,
well, once that gets off the ground, are you going to do a nationwide tour, like a live show?
I would love to. I mean, I'm open. A part of me would love to sell it to a Netflix and have it just streaming in every home. The other part of me is it is a live show. Why not? I've done 2 solo shows prior, which went everywhere from, New York to the Edinburgh Fringe, London's West End. So I love travel and getting on stage. So we'll see.
Yeah, we have to see what the restrictions are, if they're lifted.
Yeah, yeah.
But what a joyful thing that would be to get to do right after the pandemic.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
People would flock.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I could do the 51 cities in an RV, but
it was a lot.
It did look like a lot of fun. There's a web series too, which I would encourage people to watch.
Yeah, a documentary filmmaker came in the RV with us and made a real-time docuseries about the whole 12 weeks from the RV.
So
it's on YouTube. It's called The Joyful Vampire Tour of America.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And if people want more information, I had the website up and I just lost it. It is bitemethefilm.com.
That's it.
You guys, it's been amazing talking to both of you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Absolute pleasure for me.
Thank you.
And best luck with everything coming your way. It's just going to be amazing for you, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with the two Naomis. Be sure to check out bitemethefilm.com for all information on where you can get it, where you can order your Joyful Vampire kit, and watch the film. Head over to newsly.me, use my promo code CCC2022, get 1 month free premium subscription. You can also listen for free. Head over to my lovely beunique.org, like, follow, and support them. You can find me on all social media. I am Pup Duffy pretty much everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Coffee, Candy, and Creative. If you like the music you're hearing, head over to RollyKeegan.com and check him out. You can buy a physical CD, you can download digital content, and you can keep up to date on tour dates and new release. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's backs, and I'll see you.